Hello, this is Josh Hankin of Sandbag Fitness Systems. Today I am extremely pleased to have Jason Reimer on the phone today. Jason is the president of Reimer Fitness in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jason, how are you doing today?
Great, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The reason I asked Jason to be part of the phone call is I've known Jason for quite a few years. And from besides being the man with some of the most URLs online right now, he is one of the best coaches that has developed really unique programs. And he's also built up his businesses in a lot of different ways that have been very innovative. So what I wanted him to do is talk about, you know, training people in the home, because we get a lot of people that have questions of, can I get a great workout at home? And he's also built up a quite impressive boot camp business. And I know a lot of our people are interested in not only how you operate a boot camp, but also how you can promote it so it can become successful. And then lastly, Jason has some really cool new ideas of how to integrate more than just the physical component of training. So, Jason, before we start, I just want to have you talk about a little bit about yourself. It's always my favorite part of every call. And just talk about how you got into strength training, because really your background isn't in exercise, right?
Not at all. Almost every other area except for strength training, actually. So, very good. I mean, I'll just say quickly, it's an honor to be on here with you, Josh. I don't mind telling a lot of other people this. If it was just me and you on the phone, I wouldn't inflate your ego this much. But you guys should know I've learned a lot of my my coaching, a lot of my technique, a lot of my different implement usage with my clients from Josh. So he's had a huge impact on my training, and you guys have one of the best to learn from. So it's an honor to be here with you, buddy.
I appreciate it. I'll send you the check a little bit later.
Yeah, no problem. Gotcha. I love saying, like, all great strength coaches, all great fitness minds. My background took a very similar path. I graduated with an economics degree and immediately turned that into an acting career working with little kids. I'll just let all that kind of sink in, because that really shows you the spectrum of my background. I was active and athletic in high school, but in college kind of just, you know, focused on my economics degree. During that tenure, though, I took some theater classes and just realized I'm actually just a big idiot who likes to jump around and be a fool often. And luckily enough, after college, I got a job doing that, touring the United States and working with kids. And it was amazing to me, being an athlete previously and kind of always in athletics and the intramurals and other things, how theater was a cool way to teach kids self-esteem, self-confidence, communication skills, all those things I only thought sports was for. So, but on my journeys on the road as an actor, it was kind of my hobby to go into gyms and work out a little bit on the road. And so I just collected business cards, and we'd be in a town of like 100 people, and I'd be in like a high school gym that's about the size of your closet 1 week, and the next week would be in Seattle, Washington, or some other big city, and I'd be in like a 24-hour fitness or some of the other big gyms and working out there. And I just really fell in love with it and loved the impact that it had on my life. And I feel like it made me a better actor, a better director, just a better person overall. So left the road and moved to Charlotte, North Carolina to be near my girlfriend at the time, now my wife. And actually just started working for Bally Total Fitness, more in the sales end of things, and really just got probably frustrated with that kind of greedy component to it, and said, you know, really the reason I got into this industry was to help people. So I became certified through ISSA, International Sports Sciences Association. That's actually ultimately the way I met you, because Charles Staley led that cert, and then I ended up meeting you through some of Charles Staley's groups. And so then one thing led to another. Actually, what was happening, at the time I was working out with this guy who started his own little private training studio in his home. And he said, look, I've got too many clients. I'll give you this one lady, and just run with it and see what happens. And I was scared to death. Of course, this is my first actual client other than myself that I was going to be training. Well, long story short, that lady, that was my only client in 2000, and she ended up getting an article written about her in the Charlotte Observer, a New Year's resolution article, because she lost like 40 pounds and 5 inches around her waist and like 7 inches around her hips and just totally transformed her life. And at 58 years old, by the way, with a bum knee and low self-esteem and all those other things, and basically that was enough to kind of get my business in motion. And so from there, I'm proud to say that we've trained, let's jump forward now, 10 years from now, it's now me and my nephew is actually, we run Reimer Fitness, and we've been able to train athletes from age 9 to 90, We lead a lot of different boot camps with stay-at-home moms, with business executives, and now we're venturing out into speed and agility work. We've done consulting for different corporations, set up our own corporate wellness program for a little while, worked with country clubs to set up their fitness centers, and it's just been an amazing run. I feel super blessed to have been along, kind of going this life's journey of like econ and theater and then this love for fitness and just improving myself and trying to help other people. So that probably took up our whole time, didn't it? I apologize.
Yeah, it was good talking to you, so we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, great. Okay, that was fun.
No, I think, you know, it really demonstrates that, you know, great coaches and people like don't have to be, you know, have a formal education in the field to learn a lot about it and to really help one change their own lives, in fact. And I know that's what you're a lot about, is helping people change. And I want to talk about a little bit, because I know you had a lot of in-home clients for a while, and there's a lot of people that still are doubtful upon, you know, can you get the same results at home that you do in a commercial gym? And obviously a lot of people on our list are buying into it. But what's your experience, and what have you done with people with in-home training and sometimes even yourself?
Well, you know, I love saying that the most frustrating part about a gym to me is that that's the only place, literally the only place that you can go and isolate your muscles. Like, every other area of life is all about, you know, integration and full body coordination, and let's see how efficiently we can pick up that heavy detergent bottle or, you know, carry my kids up the steps or whatever. And yet you go to the gym and it's like, oh, we have a machine just to isolate the hamstring, and then we have a machine just to isolate your biceps, and it's like, it's just not even really functional. And I've had gym memberships in a lot of different places, and finally I realized, wow, I'm using about 2% of what they have in here. I'm using the dumbbells and the power racks, and that's about it. So, you know, just honestly, the best athletes, the people I look up to, like, you know, you and Troy Anderson, a lot of other coaches that you probably interviewed on this, you know, they've got it down to where, you know, let's cut out a lot of the junk that a lot of the gyms are promoting, and let's just get back down to the basics. So that's really what I try to teach my clients. You know, I work with a lot of stay-at-home moms, and my kind of catch line all these years has been, look, let me come in, let's move your coffee table out of the way, we can go through a great training session while your two-year-old naps on the couch, and just to get, you know, just to kind of take all, again, all that fluff out of it. So that's really been our premise over the years.
So, you know, if I'm training at home and I'm starting a fitness program and I either haven't worked out in a long time or never worked out, what's my starting point? What do you recommend people emphasize and start working with right from day one?
I recommend pain-free motion, just movement. And there's a lot of different ways to just explore with this. You know, before you even have to run out and buy your first set of dumbbells, you know, just trying some basic bodyweight squats or push-ups off a kitchen countertop, or, gosh, just go back to gym class when you used to do, like, the goofy arm circles, you know, and then lunges, kind of hitting every other step if you have a staircase in your house. And there's so many different ways to move and explore. Actually, one of the easiest tests is simply this. If you're listening to this, try this. If you're just getting started with this, just lay down. Lay down completely flat on your floor where you have enough room around you to move a little bit, and figure out a way to stand up. If you can do that, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 times, stand up, lay down, stand up, lay down, and there's no pain problems, you're not completely winded, then you're probably ready to progress from that. You know, from there, you could probably even just lay down, extend one arm, and keep it perpendicular to the ground. This is basically a body weight Turkish get-up, if you will, and figure out a way to stand up using your body as efficiently as possible. You know, and that might just be a good test to kind of see where you're at, you know, because if that really winds you and wears you out, that might be your starting point. And I tell people all the time, it's like, it's not where you're, you know, don't compare yourself to the neighbors or, you know, what you see on TV or whatever. It's about where you are today. And then getting that baseline point, realizing where you are, then kind of progressing from there. So I like just a lot of just exploring with movement, figuring out different ways to move, and then kind of progressing from there. And making sure that it's pain-free. We put a huge emphasis on pain-free movements.
So I know a lot of people, you know, when they're first starting out or they're getting back into it, they're kind of overwhelmed by, you know, what to do and how long it's going to take and how many exercises they should be doing. And what would be a good template that people could focus on that would sort of start getting them in the right direction as far as how long, how many exercises, and what they should really prioritize?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think Pavel Satsaline said it the best with his 3-5 rule. You know, 3-5 exercises for 3-5 sets, You can even hit 3 to 5 reps just starting off and resting, you know, 3 to 5 minutes in between those, and you can just keep carrying this out. Maybe you do it every 3 to 5 days, and every 3 to 5 weeks change it up a little bit. So that 3 to 5 I really like because often what happens with a lot of high rep programs, people lose focus and form starts deteriorating and stress is building up in the body, not in a positive way, in a negative way. And I like that 3 to 5 rule. So, you know, keeping it pretty simple, let's even break it down just to my favorite number 3. Pick an upper body push. It could be a push-up off a countertop or pick up some kind of implement and press it straight up overhead, some kind of pushing action. We use a lot of bands. There's a great brand of bands I promote, Joe D Bands, that you can check out or, you know, send me an email after this or whatever. And you can anchor those to a doorknob or to a heavy cabinet or whatever in your house. And you can do what I just call a standing bench press. There's no bench, but you're basically just standing and extending your arms straight out in front of you, horizontal to the ground. So you pick an upper body push, follow it up with some type of leg activity, and the most basic are squats and lunges. You really don't need anything for those. And just exploring with driving your heels through the ground and making the femur, think about the femur bone moving through space efficiently. And then lunges are just kind of a single leg version of that. And then you want to go back to an upper body pull. And find, you could use the same band for a pulling motion, getting your hand extended at the elbow and pulling to your hip, or picking up some kind of weight in kind of like a one-arm row position. And I think what's a great resource, honestly, is if you hear an exercise or you're just curious about an exercise, if you've seen it on a site or something, you can always just Google it. And there's tons of different images or descriptions on all kinds of different exercises because a lot of coaches use different terms for things. But I think upper body push, lower body, upper body pull, if you just want to start with a very simple, like, 3-exercise set, that's a pretty good way to go.
Well, and I think, you know, you started mentioning the bands, and, you know, I think a lot of people, too, are afraid that, you know, I think they go in with the best of intentions and quickly get bored with what they're doing at home. And obviously, this happens at the gym all the time, but I think a lot of times more appropriate at home. And when you work with your clients, you know, what type of things do you find that keeps them interested? What type of piece of equipment are you bringing into their houses and what are you setting them up on? Because a lot of people go, I don't want a big clutter at my house. I don't want to commit a whole room as my workout area. So what type of tools are you bringing and how are you adding variety to the workouts?
Yeah, our basic tools of the trade are different size medicine balls. I'm going to kind of fly through this, and I'll go back and give you a very simple version. If you just had, like, an extra closet or some space in your closet to set, you know, 3 or 4 different implements down in there, you know, and use within your workout, you know, a medicine ball is great. Obviously, hey, Josh Hinkin sandbags are tremendous, and I'll talk about
the checks in the mail. Yeah,
checks in the mail. Thank you. Thank you, sir. The bands are very versatile. There's tons of different exercises you can do there. Power block dumbbells I've used for years. It's probably the first implement or weight resistance piece of equipment I ever purchased, and they're just so versatile. I really support power block dumbbells. I mean, you know, barbells, honestly, the average person just training themselves at home, they're just not going to find a lot of validity in that. Just they're so cumbersome. Now, obviously, if you have a garage area and you can have a power rack and some barbells, that's great. But, I really love what I've just told you there, you know, a medicine ball, a sandbag. Oh, and then, of course, kettlebells. So let's close it out with those. Sandbag, power block dumbbells, and kettlebell. So let me give you an example. I think a perfect way to illustrate this is a program I did with a gentleman last night. Here's a 52-year-old lawyer. You know, he's got 2 middle school kids. He's a busy guy. He's not in great shape. But I did a little program at his house that I called Stairway to Heaven because he's got a nice home that has 2 sets of staircases in it. And so we started down in his basement, and I actually had on – well, I'll even throw in this little curveball with you. If you really want to make your workouts fun – change them up. Make them a little bit chaotic. And so it was his Stairway to Heaven program, but I also added in some dice to it. So on his bottom floor, I had a medicine ball and a band waiting on him. And he rolled the bones, okay? And if it was an odd number, it was an upper body exercise. If it was an even number, it was a lower body exercise. He performed it with, you know, the upper body was with the bands, pulling and pushing, basically, with me holding on and anchoring. And the medicine ball exercise were just what we call giant circles, just kind of creating, drawing the world's largest circle, using your body as efficiently as possible to do that. Boom, sprints up his, and he does it for the number of reps on the dice. Sprints up the staircase, and up there I had waiting on him a heavy kettlebell and a barbell. So same thing, heavy kettlebell was for just some basic kettlebell deadlifts, and the barbell was for upright rows and military presses. Same thing, two set of dice, boom, roll the bones, figure out if it's upper body or lower body. And then on up to his last staircase, and that's where I had two smaller kettlebells waiting on him and a sandbag. And so he was either going to hit, you know, cleans and presses for the upper body or sandbag half moons over and back for really kind of a full body, but primarily focusing on the legs to create that movement. And that was his set. We did five sets of that, finished up with a little bit of flexibility and core work, and that was his workout, kept his interest level, and gave him kind of an interesting challenge. So, you know, if you only have one staircase, or you could even use your yard and set an implement at each corner of your house, kind of around your house, and sprint around your house and get to an implement, use it, move to the next implement, use it, that kind of thing. I think that's just a fun way to kind of change it up. You don't get bored with it. Obviously, you need to know a handful of exercises to do with each of those implements, but that's where we'd love to come in and, you know, shoot me an email or Josh an email, and we'd be glad to help you out with any of those kind of questions.
That's great stuff, and, you know, I think that shows people that you can have a lot of versatility in your house, and you can use what's, you know, really available to make it more challenging. I think a lot of people underestimate the things that they can accomplish with a small amount of, you know, training equipment and just a lot more creativity. You know, and outside of just the in-home stuff, because I don't want to make it sound like all you're doing is driving around Charlotte all day going in-homes, but you also have been pretty successful with your boot camps and group training programs. And so for some of the trainers that are out there that are listening to this, you know, a lot of them have ambitions, especially with the way the economy is, of doing more group-based training. Is there some recommendations you can make for, you know, trainers that are starting out or trying to start up their group training to become more successful with their programs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it comes back to just how passionate are you about what you do. You know, I mean, if you, finding someone, talking to your neighbors, if you go to a church or a civic group of some kind and talking to those people and just, you know, getting word out, doing a speaking engagement. I'm actually dressed right now as we're talking in dress clothes, which is usually only a Sunday event for me, so I'm really kind of weird now, but I'm getting ready to go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting and talk to them about all of our programs and what we do. And there's so much stuff out there that's free, you know, getting out on Craigslist and posting it, hey, anyone interested in a boot camp? I'll tell you one little way that we've had a lot of success with is what we call our book club boot camps. There's a lot of stay-at-home moms that are part of book clubs or other little social groups, social networking, and, you know, you just, there's so many different ways to figure out how to get in with one of those. Again, just talking to neighbors or doing little different lunch and learns for different civic groups or whatever. But, you know, we found that, you know, they really enjoy that social interaction because we give them some time to chit-chat. You know, maybe we'll even work in some type of, like, ladies' devotion or sometimes something that's really kind of geared to something they're interested in, maybe something they saw on Oprah and it leads into some big discussion or whatever, you know. But they actually will either come to us or we'll go right to them in a cul-de-sac or within their neighborhood. So this has been great for a lot of moms who get together with some of their neighbors too. And we'll set up some little different programs within the cul-de-sac or in their driveways. Or like I said, I have three ladies that come to my house, getting ready to be four next week for just a private boot camp. And so that's that middle-of-the-day crowd. You know, it's personal trainers often can find work early morning or late evening, but it's that middle-of-the-day crowd. How are you going to fill those hours? And I think that's a great way to go. Another great tip is something I call the Big Give Boot Camp. I'm totally just stealing that from Oprah. I hope she doesn't find out. They'll probably be in big trouble. But we actually what we did is I just told a group of ladies I've been training for a little bit, look, don't pay me, okay, for this next month. I know that's a little scary, guys, but this, I promise this will come back to you because there's so many different ways that you can use to promote this. But I said, look, I want you to take the money that you would pay me for the next four sessions, and I don't want you to just write a check to a charity. I want you to find an older person in your neighborhood, or I want you to find, you know, a poor kid in the neighboring neighborhood or whatever, and I want you to take them out for a fun day or, you know, pay for their power bill for a month or whatever. You find some kind of cause and apply it to it. And then what we did is we gathered all that information. We actually did send it to Oprah. We haven't heard anything back. But I mean, this is such a cool thing. And one lady actually took this idea and ended up raising $3,000 for a girl who had a rare disease in our neighborhood. And there had been a charity already set up for her. And she had, like, she took all that, you know, that few hundred dollars, pooled it in to create a party that ultimately raise much more money, and it's just such a cool thing, and that's a great thing. You can kind of, you know, you can send that kind of stuff out in a press release or let your local media know about it, and that's just a cool way to jumpstart your boot camps a little bit because you're giving back, and people are pretty inspired about that, especially with what's going on in the economy right now. So there's a couple of quick tips.
Yeah, I think those are great ideas because it's not about, you know, you and, you know, and necessarily it's about, you know, people now feeling good about themselves training but doing something positive for other people, and that's awesome ideas there. And,
yeah.
You know, when you're – and then the actual practical part, I think some trainers are kind of surprised when they actually get the people in and you get them in. You know, what type of things are you doing with them and how are you organizing them so that, you know, because when you have different fitness abilities and different, you know, levels of flexibility and conditions and issues, it can be kind of intimidating to sometimes get everyone into an effective workout. How do you sort of approach the whole group training mindset and what do you do to get people sort of all in the same boat?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that we actually faced head-on this week. We did a kind of a flexibility/conditioning program for 30 14, 15, 16-year-old girl volleyball players, and we really hadn't been, you know, we haven't taken our boot camps to a number like 30 before, so it was really kind of interesting the challenges that present. I think that's really where the art of training comes in, and it's the part of it that I love, being able to assess, okay, you know, person A's got it, person B needs a little bit of work, person C's got to totally back off, you know, and within that moment, almost like it's like all my theater improv classes kind of come out, and it's really tricky too because you don't want to hurt people's feelings, yet you want them to feel part of a team and still feel like they're really accomplishing their goals. So, you know, there's just, again, a baseline rule with all of our training sessions is, you know, whoever said no pain equals, you know, no pain, no gain is ridiculous. They don't really know anything about the body. And so we just put a huge emphasis on, hey, look, if you're in pain or there's problems, stop. That's why I'm here. That's why you're paying me. Let's figure out some alternative movements for what you're getting ready to do. But, you know, I like to bring in all the creativity that I did with the theater stuff and apply it to fitness because I have a short attention span like everyone else, and I want to have fun, but yet challenge myself. So, I set up different little cones out in front of my house where we'll have different implements waiting on ladies, and we'll do what I just call creative suicides, where it's the same kind of suicide setup that you might have run in gym class or if you played a sport. And instead of just running the lines, you know, run to a certain point, back, a little bit further, back, a little bit further and back, I actually have stuff waiting on them to do, you know, like maybe you run to a kettlebell, knock out, you know, some kettlebell swings, sprint back, run back up. Now you're going to bust out some push-ups, sprint, come back, you know. And so it's just incorporating that overall kind of general conditioning idea that we're going to keep the heart rate up. We're going to work every muscle in the body. We're going to have fun doing it. We're going to be pain-free. So, I mean, it's a tricky question because it really depends on the people and your ability to communicate exactly what you're trying to get across that, you know, look, the only way to really get results is to be pain-free, so let's be smart about it, but, yeah, let's also work hard.
Well, and I think, you know, does it come down to, honestly, just being prepared and having options to do with people? I mean, like you, I'm sure you don't, even though you make it sound like you improv a lot, I'm sure that just goes to your knowledge base and that you have the knowledge to go ahead and quickly adapt to these programs. Is that pretty safe to assume?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And even if, you know, we have someone bring a friend or, you know, the numbers don't work out exactly to what I've planned, in my back pocket, I always think, well, all right, there's certain rules that you can use with almost every exercise to make this a little bit safer or maybe a little bit more appropriate for someone. First of all, you can slow down the speed. You can make the range of motion a little bit smaller if they're having issues with it. Or, you know, usually the first thing I'll do is just decrease the load in some way. So if someone is having a hard – it's obvious if you're holding a weight, but let's say someone's having a hard time with, say, a body weight lunge, I might actually elevate the front leg and actually have them on a step so that the range of motion is just a little bit slow, a little bit lower, or I might just have them hold on to something to stabilize a little bit more. So there's a lot of different little ways of kind of tweaking a, you know, you could be doing the same exercise as someone else, but the fact that you're not holding a kettlebell in one hand and you are holding on to something and maybe your front foot's elevated or you just feel a little bit more stable can drastically change the effect of that exercise on your body.
I think that's all like great tips. And
you know, you're doing a lot of great stuff, and you have a lot of great tips on your CharlotteFitnessBootCamps.com website. Tell us a little bit about what people can find on that website.
Yeah, we're excited. We started this blog to get out, you know, information to our boot camp attendees. You know, like if there's inclement weather, you know, here's an alternative program. And Bobby Robinson, my, you know, main assistant coach, the VP of Forever Fitness. Who am I kidding? He's the only other employee. But he's taking it and running with it and writing a lot of articles for the site. We just started a new video series we're pretty psyched about. It's called 9 and 9. 9 healthy yet not so obvious things that you need to be aware of in 2009 to make your life better. And, you know, what we're not going to do is get on here. It's a little video blog post that we're going to do every week. And we're not going to say, you know, you should drink more water. Well, duh, like everyone knows that. Or, you know, you really should exercise. Okay, wow, tell me more. No, it's going to be within about, you know, 3 to 4 minutes we're going to tell you something that maybe you haven't thought about. The first one was about shoes. And it's very interesting about, you know, how your shoes might be hindering your mobility or your pain levels or a combination of all those or just your performances in general. And the last one was about respiration. And we talked about chronic hyperventilation, how it's much more prevalent than people are aware of. And actually, you know, we just say, you know, keep breathing a lot of times during our training sessions. And a lot of people don't really know how to do that, or there could be some little things that they could be doing that could make that more efficient also. So it's going to be some things like that, kind of off the beaten path. We're going to talk about fish oils a little bit, actually even more than that. We're going to talk about krill oil, because a lot of people are aware of fish oil supplementation, but they're not really aware of like, the importance of krill oil. So that's just a little sneak peek of what's to come on that. So that'll be a 9-part series.
That's very cool, and I know it's good that you're going outside the box and just not going, you know, the basic stuff and giving some people some insights of things that are beyond what most would sort of characterize as tips of the day. I get sort of tired of the, you know, how many ounces of water you should have a day?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So
right.
Then that can be found on CharlotteFitnessBootCamps.com?
Yeah, CharlotteFitnessBootCamps with an S.com, exactly.
And, you know, I want to get into, you know, one reason I asked you too, Jason, is that you're doing something really outside the box, and it's great when people think outside the box because, you know, anyone that's worked with people for some time knows that success is far more related to probably the mental and the emotional approach to fitness and exercise than it is to the physical. I think there's enough information out there for everyone to get fit if they really wanted to. So tell us a little bit about a program you're doing. It's called Christian Strength Training. So what's that program involved with, and how does it operate into the scope of getting more fit and healthy?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so glad you brought that up because this is really where my passion's at right now. I'm a Christian, but I'm also, you know, I'm also an athlete, and I started this site called ChristianStrengthTraining.com, and I thought, you know, this is a perfect title because as a Christian, I'm trying to strengthen my faith, strengthen who I am to be better, to overcome obstacles of life. But also, I'm a Christian who happens to do strength training. So I thought there's a perfect marriage of those kind of two ideals because I really believe that if you're fit, it's not just about the physical you or the spiritual you or the mental you or, you know, how economically fit or socially or whatever. It's all those things combined. And if we can kind of tap into all those different parts of us, then we can really have a huge impact. And so basically that's my idea with this site. And every week I do a blog post on this also, another little video post called A Power Devo. And basically what I want to do is show you a cool exercise maybe that you've never seen before or a variation on an old exercise that you have been doing but maybe, you know, want to tweak it a little bit. And I follow it up with a prayer or some scripture or just a cool thought for the day, kind of tying it all in together. So we just finished a 5-part series on that blog called Push-Ups and Prayers. Different ways to, you know, if you've never done a push-up in your life, we started from the kitchen countertop, worked all the way down to the ground, worked in some cool things I call spider push-ups, worked in push-up rows. We finished it up with something called the push-up wheel, which is kind of interesting, involving a lot of different implements with your push-up. And same thing with your prayer life. We just try to share some different little ways to tweak your prayer life to make it better. Like one example is I set a timer on my phone that goes off every morning at 8:31. And the reason it's 8:31 is that's my anniversary with my wife. So August 31st, It's our anniversary, and I just say a little prayer, you know, hey, God be with my wife today. Thank you for her being in my life, blah, blah, blah. And I think setting timers is a cool thing. We also talked about popcorn prayers, which is where you basically just write all your prayer requests down, cut them up into little slips of paper, put them in a bowl somewhere in like your living room or kitchen, and as you're doing dishes or maybe just watching a show during the commercial breaks, pull out a name or an event or something going on in your life and just pray about it a little bit. So that kind of stuff is what we're trying to do is again, I've worked with youth at my church for years, and so I just wanted to kind of combine these two passions in my life for one site that I think is maybe a little bit different. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of smart coaches on here that I've learned from, that I'm still learning from. But I think one element that I can really bring into people's lives that's a little unique is this whole idea of the spiritual and physical kind of coming together.
And, you know, just this may be kind of a silly question, but I'll ask it. For people that, you know, are of different religions or, you know, maybe don't find themselves particularly spiritual, I mean, can they apply some of these principles to get maybe more inner peace and focus to their lives and their workouts, especially with being so stressed right now?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I realize it's a little controversial these days when you say the word Christian because that can mean so many different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I really debated on doing this for the longest time because, I'll be honest, it really kind of irks me when I see the plumber drive by with a fish on his truck and he's trying to get your business because, you know, he's a Christian. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to, you know, in my training sessions, we don't just play Christian music. I don't demand that you pray, you know, whatever. I just want it to be a fun event overall. But I do, you know, finally I just said, you know, look, this is who I am. I think there's a need out there for this. The prayer life absolutely could be applied to other denominations or even other religions. It's just a, you know, general way of talking about that. However, I do talk on my site a lot about Jesus and Christ, and the name of the site, the URL is Christian Strength Training. So, you know, again, I know this isn't for everyone, but if you're out there looking for kind of a nice, again, kind of binding together the spiritual part of you and the mental and the physical and everything else, and you're looking for some tips and ideas, I think our site might be what you're looking for.
Well, it sounds like, too, what, you know, just what you're promoting, too, is just also taking time out of your day to appreciate what you're accomplishing and what you have, rather than the focus of what you don't have and what you want. Is that pretty true? I mean, you're giving a different perspective for people. And it seems like we're in a society of what we don't have instead of appreciating what we do have.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell everyone I think they need to experience a mission trip at least once in their life, even if it's just going to whatever city you're in, the inner city of that area, and working in a soup kitchen for a day or whatever, just to realize, you know, kind of count your blessings and realize how blessed we are. I spent a week in an orphanage / school in the inner city of Rio de Janeiro this summer, and it was just so eye-opening, but not in the way you think. I mean, here's kids that, you know, I see rummaging through trash looking for their next meal, coming down and playing soccer with us, and just, man, just never stop smiling and never stop enjoying life. And we took a lot of kids from very affluent homes here in Charlotte, and that was the comment they kept making. It was like, wow, these kids have nothing, and yet, in a way, it seems like they have everything. And so that's a lot. Yeah, I absolutely totally agree with that. And I think people will find, too, if they're not on a training program, that your fitness can kind of fill that void of, you know, having to maybe, you know, maybe you're a shopaholic or, you know, you've got other kind of vices in your life. I mean, you know, for me, I feel like I'm so lucky because my number one hobby is also my job, and it's, you know, I don't make my living, and it's free for the most part. You know, after you buy the equipment, it just takes a little bit of effort. So, I totally get what you're saying. I think, you know, especially in these economic times, finding the simple life and really tapping into that is can be a great addition to anyone's life.
Yeah, I think that's important because, I mean, we all know that things like stress and all these other factors can definitely play a role just even in your body composition. You know, I'm going to be interviewing Mike Mahler later to discuss hormone production and so forth. And, you know, it seems like this could actually bring a lot of peace to people because, you know, you could focus on the physical, but that emotional and mental side plays a big role. I mean, have you seen some of your clients actually get faster results when they are able to place their focus on some of these factors?
Oh, tremendously. Interestingly enough, with all that's going on in the economy and stress levels super high, I had a top executive from one of the banks unfortunately lose his job. And this guy's a good athlete, and we used to train pretty hard, but, you know, he would always have some neck issues and, different little shoulder tweaks and things that we were kind of always fighting through to progress his workouts. And trained with him yesterday, and he's been without his job for the last month or so. And I just asked him, like, you know, hey, how's that neck issue going? He's like, you know, it's gone. I feel like it was all stress related. And I really believe that the next research, extensive research, won't focus on, you know, macronutrient ratios and all that other stuff in terms of fat gain. I think there will be a huge emphasis on stress in the body. And, you know, we already learned a little bit of this and know about it anyway, but I think it can go beyond even just the obvious to hold extra weight around the middle. I think it's creating pain and, you know, sleep issues and just digestive issues in people that they're not even aware of. And I know they say, well, you know, you need some stress in your life. Well, you're going to have all kinds of different levels of stress. It's just on how you're going to manage it and how you're going to kind of overcome it, you know. So, yeah, I think that's a great point.
I think it was Stephen Covey who wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and he said, you can't prevent bad things from happening. You can only prevent how you react to them. And I think that's a big part. And, you know, it seems like, too, you know, isn't that this could be really, you know, important to people, as I've always found working with clients that, you know, stress usually leads to really negative behaviors, you know, eating poorly, you know, sleeping poorly and so forth. And, you know, could you see that, you know, if people find some modes of peace and recognition of those things, that it could speed up the results because the other habits form a lot better?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it kind of gets back to the thing I was talking about before, is that it's not just the spiritual or the physical or the mental. It's kind of all those parts of your life combined. And I think about Dan John, you know, something smart he said one time is like, if any of those bubbles in your life, and I think he gave them different names, but if, like, you're working more, then you got to allow your rest or your play time to increase as much as your work time increases. And people don't, you know, tend to have that balance. So, you know, that's one thing we're trying to do with ChristianStrengthTraining.com, too, is say that, you know, your workouts could almost be like a praise time, could almost be like a worship service in a way, because, you know, God's given you this amazing body. The body is a temple. We talk all the time about mind, body, spirit, and so why not just let it be a time to kind of be thankful for all that you do have and you know, how you're making the most of the life that you do have. And so I think you're all over it, though. I mean, I think there's so many other factors that go into people's physical success that go beyond just the obvious workout, what you're eating, but all those other factors of life.
It seems like it would appear that, you know, as you mentioned, Dan had a great, you were mentioning his sort of wheel of balance.
Yes.
And if any of those spokes are sort of out of alignment, it's going to be hard to have balance and success in the other parts. And like you mentioned, I mean, you could train like a banshee, but if you're, you know, depressed and stressed out and have no other enjoyment in life, you know, I think your success and your pursuit of that fitness goal is going to be hampered quite a bit. But I want to ask you sort of just, you know, we're getting towards the end. I think this is great stuff because it's something a lot of people don't talk about, is that, you know, a lot of people, you know, the idea of exercise and working out can sometimes be a stress. You know, how do you sort of coach people and get people in the right mindset to enjoy that time rather than to place a lot of stress about it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is probably at the core of what we try to do. And even in some of the stuff I've promoted out to, you know, when we're doing advertising and other stuff, is I always try to include the word fun because, you know, especially I work with stay-at-home moms a lot, and I can't think of a demographic that's more stressed out. I mean, they're on 24/7. Respect for them, but you know, so I always try to incorporate, you know, some different kind of warm-ups and challenges, and really approach it like that. I say, look, you know, it doesn't matter if you know, you never stand on a podium with a gold medal around your neck, or you know, you're never on stage in some kind of you know, strength contest or whatever. It's like, it's what you can do today. So let's just challenge ourselves and take it one day at a time, one workout at a time, and really just be the best you can be. I mean, that's, but I think that whole fun factor is huge. And that's why I incorporate dice. I incorporate cards. You know, I had a really fun warm up the other day for a group of stay at home moms where we had a little course through my yard where I was actually throwing them footballs. I said, look, guys, in honor of the Super Bowl coming up, Josh, I know you're psyched about that, right?
I think, you know, where it's frozen over.
I was throwing them footballs, like, and it was, you know, short little passes, but I was like, look, you got to catch it. Every drop pass equals, you know, whatever, 3 burpees or 5 bodyweight squats or whatever. And meanwhile, I had another lady on a band, another lady on a kettlebell, and we just kind of rotated around. And they didn't even see that coming. I'd never done it with them before. We kind of made it up as we went. And I think in just, you know, just moving and exploring with strength and making it fun is a huge missing component from a lot of programs. And I would, actually what I encourage people to do is if you buy some implements and you think, oh, boy, what am I going to do with this, just start messing around with it. I've come up with so many exercises just kind of goofing around, you know, and I know you do that with sandbags. You're,
absolutely.
You can't tell me all those cool videos that you're putting out are things that you sat down and, you know, studied structurally what would happen to the body if you did this, that, and the other. You know, it's like just start messing around with them.
And I bet, you know, when you're doing that drills, you know, people start laughing, they start giggling, and I think that's where, you know, it doesn't become work anymore. It becomes a time for themselves to understand, because really, you know, the training should be about them and their time from everything else. So I think those are some very cool ideas. And Jason, I want to, you know, thank you for your time and tell people how they can get, you know, more information about a lot of the different programs we discussed. You had a couple different websites. I want you to tell people where to go to get, you know, you have some special offers for people, so if they can sign up, and you're going to send them some really cool stuff. Tell us a little about what you're going to be putting out.
Yeah, well, the two main sites that we talked about today were charlottefitnessbootcamps.com, and that's just how we stay in touch with our bootcamp people. We'll have a lot of different video blog posts, and I told you about the 9 and 9 series that we're doing there. Please check that out. If you sign up, receive weekly updates from us there, we're going to send you our Reimer Fitness Bootcamp manual. I'll just say anyone that signs up this week will get that. We'll send it out on Friday. And basically what that is it's a 36-page manual that's got a nutrition crash course in it. It's got goal-setting sheets, great articles about blueberries and other, you know, just kind of off the tough kind of things, you know, that you don't necessarily think about that could be nutritious to add into your diet. So it's a 36-page manual that we're just going to give you. Also, if you go to the other site we talked about, we're ChristianStrengthTraining.com, and it's a site I'm very psyched about because I think this is a missing part within the fitness industry of kind of combining the spiritual with the physical. And if you sign up to receive updates there, I'd like to send you an article I wrote called 7 Daily Exercises, and it's 7 daily physical and spiritual exercises that I think should be a part of any kind of fitness program you do, and obviously with your walk in faith, and I'd love to see you also, and be sure to check those out for the Power Devos I talked about, where I show you a cool exercise and follow it up with some scripture and a thought for the day. We do one of those a week.
Well, that's awesome. That's a lot of material, so it's all good stuff, and you get for
yeah.
free, so people should really jump on that. You know, I know Jason for, like I said, for many years now, and, you know, he definitely walks way he preaches, so, you know, it's good to see that people are, you know, following their own advice first and foremost, and I do encourage people to go to both charlottefitnessbootcamps.com and christianstrengthtraining.com. So, Jason, I'd really like to thank you for your time today. It was awesome, really some cool, insightful information, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Sounds great, Josh. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.